Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Americans are taking the least amount of vacation in nearly 40 years. From 1976 until 2000, American workers used 20.3 days of vacation every year. But since then, the number has dropped precipitously, with workers reporting just 16 days used in 2013. And that's really almost a full work week less than compared to pre-2000 levels. Why? Katie Dennis is our guest this hour. Katie is Senior Director of Project Time Off, and her special area is appropriately America's vacation culture. She is responsible for taking all of her vacation time and encouraging others to do the same. What is it that makes us feel as though we can't use our vacation time? How many people have paid vacation time? Do you use all of your vacation time? Do you worry that you might lose your job if you don't give up some of your vacation time? We welcome phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're also on Twitter at K Dunn Show. Katie, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. This is really an amazing number when you look at how many weeks we took off until 2000, and then we almost a full week less in 2015 than we used to have. Why is that?
You know, it is an amazing number. And actually, when you look at the chart, it's just this visual drop-off that's so steep. And, you know, I think a lot of people just automatically say, oh, well, this isn't France or something like that. But we don't need to be France. We can be ourselves 15 years ago. This has not been that much time. And we've really managed to lose a lot of vacation time in that period. And the question is why, right? What's happened? What's changed? So one of the things that we looked at is what is holding people back. And what we found is a lot of it is actually very personal, where people feel like no one can do the job as well as they do. The work is going to pile up. They don't want to be seen as replaceable. So you see some of this post-recessionary thinking definitely lingering, which is understandable. You know, it was a very hard time. It continues to be a hard time for a lot of people. But at the same time, it's not my boss won't let me or my company doesn't allow it. It's a lot of it really is an internal personal thing. And some of it really could be cleared up by communication. You know, we've looked at employees and we've looked at managers and we've looked at HR leaders. And what we're finding is that there's a lot of silence on this issue, and that silence is what's breeding a lot of the fear. So if we could really start talking about this and facilitating more conversation, it could go a long way in making a big difference in how we feel about taking vacation, and ultimately being better employees for our workplaces.
And communication between managers and their employees, it would seem to me as though it would have to start with managers, that they have to create an environment where taking your vacation is encouraged.
Right, and I think it's twofold. You know, we've got 85% of managers saying that it's a priority, it's important. 95% of them say, yes, it's absolutely important for my team to take their time off. But then when you ask employees, what do you hear from your company leadership, 2/3 of them say they don't hear anything. So there's a clear gap here between what we think and what we say. And if we can start to facilitate some of that conversation, I think people will not only see that vacation time is accepted, it could even be encouraged if we do it right. But I think we have also modeled the behavior around us. And, you know, at the same time, when you ask managers, are you modeling this good behavior, over half of them say, no, I'm not very good at that. So there's the verbal stuff, but then there's the nonverbal cues, which can be incredibly strong. And, you know, what your manager does is going to set the cue for what you do. And that goes all the way up to the C-suite. One of the things that we noticed here at U.S. Travel is Roger Dow, who is our CEO, sent out an email last year that said, I'm going to use all of my vacation, and I want you to do the same. And to encourage you to do it, we're going to give you a $500 incentive if you take off all your time. As an employee, I'm thinking, fantastic.
Yeah, right.
When you really dig into it, it makes a lot of sense. What we did is we looked at our 2013 vacation usage was pretty bad. It was not what you want to see. For the travel association that should be all about travel, only 19% of our staff took off all of their time.
Really?
Which is actually lower than the national average. Yeah, it was pretty bad. We're not super proud of that number. But when you looked at 2014, we went from 19% to 91% usage.
Ooh.
And the $500 certainly helps, of course. But having an email from your CEO go out to the entire staff that says, I'm taking all my time, I want you to do the same, I expect you to do the same, It also ignited something in individual employees, but also their managers to say, okay, I'm accountable for making sure my team takes their time off. And ultimately, it helped us because all that time that you roll over, for a lot of companies, that carries a cost. So when you think about it, we had this 58-person trade association with a $355,000 business or vacation liability sitting on the books. So really, it cost $26,000 to provide the incentive, but we ended up saving $36,000 in the long run. So it was kind of the cheapest way to be generous, and of course, everybody loved it.
Mm-hmm. How many people do have paid vacation? Do most employees in this country have paid vacation?
So 98% of employers, according to SHRM, offer paid vacation plans. And then I think, I want to say it's about 77% of employees actually have vacation, paid vacation.
That's more than I thought it would be.
It's actually a lot higher than I thought it would be as well. So when we're looking at the total universe, I think it's about 130 million employees total.
Mm-hmm. And the average length of time is what? And it's probably gone up. I remember when my dad took vacations, it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks was the max. And then you get holidays off. But it's more than that now, isn't it?
Yeah, our last research study where we asked that question showed that people had, on average, about 20 days. So now a lot of people are putting vacation and sick together, and it's lumped all as PTO. So it sort of depends on your plan, and that's on the rise. But on average, we found that people had about 20 days.
Mm-hmm. And you have encouraged all the people who work with you to take time off. Have you taken your vacation time yet, Katie?
Of course. Absolutely have to. I am fortunate that my parents have decided to retire to the beach, and with a young child, it makes for a great multi-generational experience to descend on their home.
So yes, I'm sure it
definitely
does.
Definitely prioritize that.
And why is it important? You probably have done studies about how important it may be to get away from the work that you do every day, that it's good for you probably physically, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen countless studies about how it helps your health. You know, the most notable one is probably the Framingham Heart Study that's been going on forever.
Right.
But they did a 30-year look at what vacation time does for your health. And they found that in men, they're 30% less likely to have a heart attack if they take their time off. In women, I believe that it's like 6 times less likely to have a cardiac incident. So there's a lot of reasons to say yes. And then stress levels is a big thing. This boils down to a stress issue. We all feel stress. There's really no way around it. But it's a chance to mitigate some of that and kind of hit the reset button and come back with more perspective. And that's ultimately, I think we can all relate to that, right? You go, you take a little time off. I mean, even this past holiday weekend, right? You get an extra day in there just to kind of hit the reset button, take a breath, and then you come back feeling much more refreshed. You know, you've got a clearer head. You're ready to work again. So that's something we really want to stress to employers. You know, you're not going to get the best version of the employee you hired if they're constantly feeling stressed out, overworked, burned out. You need to give them this chance to take a break. And that can give you some really great ideas, too. You know, Instagram and Dropbox, those were both companies that came as products of vacation thinking. You know, these were ideas that people had when they were just strolling the beach. Like, you know, it'd be great. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you can get when you break out of the day-to-day routine. It's that creativity and that innovation. And we definitely live in an innovation economy where people are always starved for the next new idea. You know, we've got all these big companies doing entrepreneurs in residence programs, and everyone's looking to be the next Google. And, you know, some of the simplest things that we can do, take advantage of what's written in your employee handbook. That right there, it's already there. It's not something special that you need to create. It's not something costly that you need to add on. It's just making the policy that you have on paper worth the paper it's printed on.
Right. You get time off.
You know,
here's your vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
But if we don't communicate it, there's no point.
Well, how much, I've heard this before, that people feel that they have to work these longer hours. They've got to work, you know, past 5 o'clock if they're on a 9-to-5 shift, that just to stand out in the workplace so that people don't think they're slacking off on the job. People think of them as terrific employees if they're putting in a lot of extra hours. And my goodness, giving up some of your vacation so you can work, what a great worker you are. I'll pat you on the back and reward that behavior. Is that behavior being rewarded in some way?
You know, what we've seen is that the FaceTime isn't necessarily noticed. We feel it as individuals when we're putting it in, but it might not be registering the same way with the people that you actually want to see it. You know, I think about in a previous position, I kind of suffered from a little of this myself. You know, I started off with a manager that said, I take every single day I'm given and you should too. So I did. You know, that was the cue I was given, and I did that. Then I got a different manager, and she didn't say anything about it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't anything. It was just, you know, it was a void, and she didn't do it, so I didn't do it. And I noticed one day, I realized that I was in this more hyper-competitive environment, and I had someone text a picture on my phone of my daughter and her Halloween parade, like in her little elephant costume. You know, she was only 6 months old, but I didn't want to request the morning off. It felt like it wasn't important enough. Even though I wanted to be there, I just feel like I didn't think it was going to be important enough to say, I'm going to be out for a few hours this morning, because mm-hmm. I didn't think people would get that or see that that was a reason. So I didn't go. And then when I got that picture on my phone, I was like, you know, this isn't the kind of mom I want to be. This isn't the person that I want to be. I'm not prioritizing things the right way. And that, to me, was a moment where, what is all the FaceTime worth? What am I doing it for? Who am I doing it for?
Right.
And for me, that was a major moment to hit a little reset button in my own life. But what I realize now, having thought about this issue day in and day out for over a year, is that you don't necessarily need a new job. We need to reframe our way of thinking, because this is a deeply personal issue. And I spend a lot of time asking people about their vacation habits. And sometimes it feels like I'm asking them about like a touchy medical issue or how much money they make. It's just awkward. But it shouldn't be awkward. We should be moving to a place of not just acceptance, but encouragement. And that's where I think we need to start really having this conversation. And that is the whole point of Project Time Off, is to ignite this conversation, make it happen at, you know, the very local level, manager to employee, employee to employee, family to employee. Like, we need to start there and really, really make this a much more acceptable thing across the board.
I'm with you. Here's to vacation. Katie Dennis is our guest, and we're going to start welcoming phone calls. We have a lot of Facebook comments on this, so we'll read some of those. But we're interested in what you make of this statistic that we're taking less vacation time now, almost a full week less than we did from 1976 to the year 2000, even though most of us, 98% of employers, do offer paid time off, paid vacation, and that's quite a bit, but we don't use it. And what in the world would be the reason for that, when it's good to leave the place where you work every day? Less stress, you get new scenery, you feel more relaxed, you sleep better, you're spending time with family and with friends and new places and new stimulation. So why aren't we using it? Well, you'll provide the answer for that. Do you use your vacation, or do you feel as though you need to be at work because nobody can fill in for you because you want to be seen as irreplaceable, and so you work really hard and more hours than other people work, so people will say, my goodness, what a great worker. You are indeed irreplaceable. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Katie Dennis, Senior Director of Project Time Off, is our guest. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655. Hamid in Milwaukee is our first caller. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to suggest that I agree with our guests that it is beneficial for employees to be able to take vacation time and so on, and I think many employers recognize that. I have three different jobs that I work about 60 hours a week, and one of them is a product of a post-Obamacare environment where they were hiring part-time workers instead of full-time workers. At that job, I guess, one vacation day a whole year, so very interesting situation there. But I would suggest that a decrease in vacation time could well be related to an increase in part-time employment as a result of government restrictions on what happens when they're punishing people for early becoming full-time. So we might be able to get more vacation time if we have a more less restriction on what employees and employers can do, and things like getting rid of Obamacare so employers have less of a penalty for hiring full-time people. Thank you for taking that call.
Katie.
So that's well above my pay grade to speak to, but I will say that what we should have employers recognize is this is a talent issue. And a lot of the employers, particularly in Silicon Valley, are recognizing that and how much policy, a good vacation policy, can recruit great talent. And actually, I was talking to a small business owner in Cincinnati, Ohio, who said, I can't compete with a lot of the R&D companies around me and what they can offer, but what I can offer is a really great culture. And a big part of my culture is having a generous vacation policy that's very family-oriented and encouraged and really pushed, because the employees think that's a really big deal, and that's why they stay. So, I mean, I don't know what employers are doing to make things easier on themselves, and I'm sure there are all sorts of considerations that go into it, but a good vacation policy can go a long way. There was actually a really interesting study from Account Temps where they asked CFOs, what's the number one benefit that your employees want on their wish list? And then they asked employees, what's the number one benefit on your wish list? And it showed that disconnect. The CFOs all said a better health plan was number one. But when you asked employees, number one was more vacation time. And health plan was on there, but it was not right at the top. And, you know, when it came to vacation time, the CFOs had it as a distant third. So it really does matter to employees and can make a difference for your business. And I think that the more companies that recognize that and, you know, accept it and move toward it, they're going to be in a much better place.
What about the issue of part-time workers? I mean, people have been hiring part-time long before the Affordable Care Act, so I don't think that's a huge central issue here, but we have heard that being criticized. But the number of people who are working two jobs, three jobs, you know, 60 hours a week is way too much to have to work. Is part-time work part of the problem here, that you don't get vacation time? Do most part-time workers get some vacation time or not?
You know, all of our studies have focused on people who receive paid time off, whether they're part-time or full-time. We haven't necessarily broken it down for those purposes, so I can't really answer that concretely. But I will say the time that people do get, they're not taking. So, you know, regardless of your status, we're still seeing that 40% of Americans are leaving time on the table, and not a little bit of time. You know, we kind of looked at who are the target audiences, and all of our target audiences have 10 or more days available. So it's not like a little bit of time that's being left behind. It's a good amount. You know, when you look at the 429 million days, that's a ton of time on its own. But really, when it breaks down on a per individual basis, it's a lot of time, a lot of time, 3.2 days on average. But you got to factor in, you know, more than half the population is taking that time. So when you really look at how many people are leaving it behind, they've got weeks worth in many cases. So I think, you know, our focus is on the people who get the time and they're not using it. But if that helps the people who don't have the time, that want more of it, or employers recognize how important this is, then, you know, we consider that a win-win.
Jeff in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. And I just want to make the comment, as I've ran through, is I've rotated through a lot of jobs through the recession time and everything, and every job seems you start you out with less vacation. And it's becoming, like the present job, it was took me a year to get 2 days, you know.
Really?
And now, you know, finally I'm up to 2 weeks after 2 years, you know. And so it's really hard to seem to get vacation anymore. You know, we started a new place. That's what I've been finding.
What do you say, Katie?
So these are the employers that I just want to have one-on-one conversations with, because it is such an important thing and it can make a world of difference. And, you know, like I said before, you are not getting the most out of the employee you hired when you burn them out. It's not good for the company. It's not good for their bottom line. It's just, it's not smart. And if we would only think a little bit more creatively, not everything has to be costly. Not everything has to be a big ordeal. You know, one of my favorite stories is about Netflix. So Netflix has long been known as this unlimited vacation pioneer. And the reason Netflix decided to do that was because they were going public and their vacation policy, you know, they weren't really keeping track of it, and that wasn't great from the auditor perspective. And they said, well, we don't want to invest all the resources basically into doing that. So the reason that they ended up going with unlimited vacation was because it wasn't going to take the time and energy of their HR and payroll departments and put it toward all this vacation tracking. So, yes, and the way they did it, though, they not only have an unlimited vacation policy, they have an entire culture document about why it's important and how they trust their employees. It's called Freedom and Responsibility. So it's really well echoed and prioritized, and they see other people modeling that behavior. You know, it's not just the policy on the paper. It's how you act around it, how you communicate it. And they recognize that they're getting better employees as a result of it. And they know that the talented people are going to rise to the top, and, you know, that it's a smart way to go because their employees are that much happier.
What does that mean?
Definite happiness thing.
What does it mean, unlimited vacation?
That you don't have a there's not a certain number of days. So the gentleman before who called in, I mean, yes, that's a terrible policy, it sounds like. But
right.
That this is not something that's tracked. If you're going to be out, then you tell your manager, okay, I'm going to take these days, but it's not like there's someone counting exactly how much time you take off because they trust employees to make the right decisions. Now, unlimited vacation is not a very popular policy. You know, just less than, as of SHRM's 2015 stats, less than 3% of companies are offering it. However, it has started an excellent conversation, and that is probably the most important thing unlimited vacation has done, has got us talking about what vacation policy means, what it is. Because the big pushback on it is that, yeah, well, most employees end up taking less time with unlimited policies. And, you know, that can be true, because if it's not well communicated, it's not going to be honored. So, you know, I think a great example of that is the Tribune Media Company. They rolled out what was effectively an unlimited vacation policy, but the way they communicated it was you had to jump through so many hoops to take a day off. It was kind of like, don't bother. Mm. That was sort of the message that they were sending. I'm sure it wasn't intentional, and I'm sure it had to do with all sorts of different people getting their say on how it should be rolled out to make sure that people didn't abuse it. But the way that it actually came across was, yeah, no, we don't actually want you to take that. And it was rolled back within a week. That was the backlash to it. So you do need to be careful. You know, the complete contrast to that is when Richard Branson said, okay, we're going to do unlimited vacation for Virgin employees. And he had a parade, Ferris Bueller-style parade in Chicago. You know, the optics of that are very different. Everything about Richard Branson, he looks like a vacation. I mean, you know, the flowing hair and the I own an island, of course you're going to believe him.
He looks like a vacation.
So it all depends on how you message it.
Ellen writes on Facebook, I'm a retired manager and have both inherited and develop teams. I'm not blind to the pressures of workload. I've been there too. Please take your vacation, especially if you have children. You owe it to yourself, your family, your relationships, and your sanity. Do not tell me to dream on. Don't tell me I wish I could. Just do. Hopefully, at least you will discover you can, and at best, you'll discover that life is too short.
It is too short. And that's something, actually, so we're in the middle of doing some research right now on our relationships and how time off or the lack thereof affects those relationships. And I'm fresh off of many, many hours of focus groups with children. And, you know, kind of what we're realizing is that a lot of kids, they might feel some of these things when they're not being prioritized, but they don't articulate it, especially when they're a little bit younger. That consciousness tends to be raised when they hit around 11, 12, 13. But the kids that are younger than that, they recognize it, but they don't articulate it. And I think that's what's actually really powerful about that MasterCard ad, the one more day thing with the kids, you know, chanting, you know, one more
right,
day.
And
if you would just take more time, we would be smarter. We would be greater. Everything would be better. There's something to that because the kids in that commercial are the age that they would never say that, but it plays into something we all know is very real. It does matter. It matters to your family. It matters to that quality time. You know, there's all these studies that we spend more time with our kids at any point in history, and you know, but it's not quality time. And that quality time really, really matters because that quality time is what they remember. That's what they're going to take with them. That's the stuff that's going to be, you know, repeated, the stories that you're going to tell. It's all part of your family story. And we want to make sure people are having a family story, that they're not foregoing it for a little bit more time at the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, for your call. And Ellen, thank you for your message. We have many more messages. We will get to them. Ruth in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a girlfriend who works for the state, for the city, county, I mean, detention people, mm-hmm. Over in the police area. And she is not able to take vacation time. She's submitted multiple requests. She has so much vacation time built up that she's losing it. And with Governor Walker's cutbacks, they have had to cut staff down so much that they are required to have one female on each of the shifts. But because they've pared the staff back and because people can't get vacation, they've kind of given up and people have quit to the point now where there's not enough female staff to staff all of the hours. And so she's working 9 days in a row, and she really does not know how does one handle that. Where do you go to get help? I mean, because she's burnt out, she's exhausted, and her coworkers feel the same. It's just like it's very hard.
Don't they have a human resources department of some kind? She is a state employee, right?
Well, she does have a human resources department, but when she has submitted her vacation request slips, she thought, well, I'll keep a copy of them and of the reply, because usually it was written on their trade shifts. And now there are no vacation slips anywhere to be found anymore. And she just feels that the environment is very hostile towards taking any time off.
Well, if she's a state employee, she can bank time, or it's written into policy, so she's got a case here. I think that she, if it's happening to other workers, as long as there is a policy for how much time you get and what you can do with your time if you've been there a certain period of time, and you know more about this, Katie, that she should make sure she knows what her possibilities are, because she shouldn't have to forsake her vacation. It's part of the job, right? You get a vacation.
Yeah, definitely. Know your policy. You should absolutely know your policy and everything that goes around it, and you know what you're entitled to, because this is part of your compensation package. This is a benefit that you earn, and you earn it for a reason. So that's number one. But I think the caller hit the nail on the head when they said people have quit. People have quit, and they will continue to quit if they're repeatedly denied the vacation they're entitled to. And that's putting more strain on the employees that are there, but I have a feeling that her friend is probably starting to feel like, I've got to look for something else, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If there's really that much of a shortage, there's probably going to be a shortage in other areas, and she can probably find something else. And that's what's going to happen. People, when they're unhappy, they leave. So this isn't just a talent attraction thing. It's retaining that talent. That's a huge part of it. And when you create these hostile environments where you can't take your time off, at a certain point, people are going to get burned out. They're going to be fried. They're going to start to make mistakes. They're going to be unhappy. They're going to be hard to work with. And then ultimately, they're going to leave. So that's the consequence. And, you know, employers really need to take a hard look and decide if that's something they're comfortable with or not, and if it's worth that kind of a culture.
Yeah. Thank you, Ruth, for the call. Karen writes to us on Facebook, my husband works for the world's largest retailer and was told that he can't use his 5 remaining holiday days because they can't provide coverage. It is use it or lose it. What kind of recourse would he have, Katie?
You know what? It all depends on the state you live in, and I'm definitely not a benefits lawyer, so I don't really know specifically on the case. But, you know, again, it just kind of goes back to know what your policy is, know what you're earning, and make sure that you're taking advantage of it. You know, we would say the best thing you can do is use that time. I know that there's options to be paid out for it and bank it and roll it over, but generally, you know, we think there are so many benefits for companies, for individuals, for families, for the, you know, the people that you care about the most in your life, that time, taking that time, is the best possible thing you can do with it.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that, I don't know if this is still being done or not, but if you're applying for a job, it's not unheard of to try to negotiate some vacation time, isn't it? Isn't that
a possibility? No, it's definitely a big part. Yeah, and you know, in a time when it's a little bit tougher to get salary and you might not be able to hit where you want on salary, this is a great thing to throw out there, because it's not something that necessarily represents a true cost to the employer in the same way that, you know, salary, health plan, some of the other more traditional benefits do. There can be a little bit more flexibility here, and that might be a great point because, you know, for some people, the time is more important than the money, you know, at a certain degree.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a calculation. There's a trade-off. You know, you need a paycheck. That's obviously critical. But, you know, at what point are you just thinking, okay, well, yeah, maybe I could get $5,000 more, but, you know, perhaps another week of vacation is going to mean a lot more to, you know, my family, my flexibility, what I'm able to do, you know, for my kids, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Ginger in Springfield, hi.
Hi. I'm currently on vacation, and I want to say I miss Wisconsin Public Radio. I am in Wisconsin right now. But I feel one of the reasons is that since there aren't any unions anymore, unions are so few and far between now, there's this job security thing that happens. I see it with my employees. People get fired for no reason. They get let go for, you know, no apparent reason. And so they feel that if they stay on the job and they don't leave their job, they will retain their job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely
so
something to that.
Consequently, it's like, you know, if I go on vacation, leave my job, they're going to see they don't need me. So I need to stay here and prove that I'm important.
Yeah, I know. I think there is some of that. That's a sad state of affairs. Katie?
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour, where there's this this thinking that, you know, a lot of this is fear. Fear is the number one thing that is keeping us from taking the time. And our Overwhelmed America study, we saw that 22% of people said, I don't want to be seen as replaceable. And there is this need to kind of mark our territory and say, you know, without me, you're not going to be able to do this as well. And, you know, there's a couple schools of thought with that. On the one hand, I understand where people are coming from. You know, there is good reason to be fearful because a lot of jobs have not come back. And, you know, that's completely understandable. But with vacation specifically, you know, taking the time that you're entitled to, that is not perceived negatively by the managers that we've studied. And, you know, we've done this a lot of studies on this topic, and we actually did a pretty interesting exercise with some managers in a focus group where we gave them a certain number of chips, and we said prioritize the following, and we gave them happiness, productivity, and health, and, you know, put your chips on what you think is the most important and allocate them accordingly. Happiness won by a landslide because all of those managers basically said happiness drives productivity. And for me, that's the ultimate goal. I have to hit numbers. I have to deliver sales goals. I have to do X, Y, or Z, whatever it is. Happy employees make for better teammates and better results. So there is this awareness at the managerial level that this is really, really critical. And that, you know, the Facebook comment from earlier completely clarifies that. You know, the other piece of it is that employers need to recognize that this is really important and that their employees are going to be better for it. And that seems to be something that doesn't necessarily come across. We might say that we believe it, but, like, truly recognize it and recognize it to the point that you're talking about it, encouraging it, just saying, hey, you know, I think you've been doing great work. I think you need a break, and it'll be good for all of us. Because I think we've all worked with that person that needs a break, right? They start to fray at the edges. They're a little touchy. You know, you're walking on eggshells. That's not really productive. That's not a good environment. Burning people out is not a good business solution.
Thank you, Ginger, for your call. Joe writes on Facebook, wage slaves don't succumb. Take trips makes you smarter and culturally literate. It's true. It does make
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Take those kinds of vacations, too. It's a good idea. And Kathy from Duluth called to say that because she has so few sick days, she had to use vacation days when she was sick. That's another issue, right?
Well, we generally think that people can take their time off for all sorts of things. If you want to put a deck on your house, if you want to, you know, do a staycation, whatever you want to do with that time, it's up to you. Ideally, people won't be using it for sick time. You know, we understand that sometimes that happens, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, and that's not necessarily going to give you the benefits of what you want from your time off. But, you know, hopefully, ideally, people will be taking the time off for something that makes them feel better, whether that's traveling or, you know, cleaning out your closet and finally going, okay, that's done. You know, that can be pretty liberating all on its own.
Well, please don't use cleaning out your closet for a vacation day, though. That sounds awful to me.
It would be a sad vacation day.
That's why I don't have any closets that aren't filled with clutter, because I would never use that for a vacation day. Well, and
yeah, I'd rather have the cluttered closets than the plane tickets.
Absolutely.
Their own.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, I don't know too much about other countries in the world, but it certainly is true that Europe pretty much, except for people in the tourist business, shuts down for the month of August. Everybody's gone. It's just a given that that's the month when you go away with your family. Do you know if that's true in other places? Are we indeed the world's hardest, not necessarily hardest workers, but we work more days than anybody?
Europe's definitely the leader on, you know, making sure that they take advantage of their time. I think, you know, Expedia does their vacation deprivation study every year, and they do a really great country comparison that kind of shows where we rank and things. And really, it's us and Japan. We're not great. There's and a lot of the Asian countries. So it's really Asia and America. We've got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Europe can be really exemplary. I actually was pretty I got this email on LinkedIn the other day. I was speaking at GW, and it was a person who got the invitation but is living in Italy. And, you know, she said, I just wanted to write you because I really like what you all are talking about, and I do think it's such a problem. And she's living in Italy. She's enjoying it so much. One of the reasons that she doesn't want to come back to the States isn't because she wouldn't like to be close. She's like, I'd like to be closer to my family. I really would like to move back someday, but my lifestyle here is just so much better, and that's a big part of why I'm not coming back. So, I mean, we really are creating an environment that is so different from other countries, and you don't really realize it until something like that really crystallizes it. And I thought that was just fascinating.
Yeah, it is. More phone calls in just a moment. We're talking about why it is Americans don't use their vacation time. It's gone way down. We've lost almost a week since the year 2000. Why is that? And why it's important for companies to make it clear that they want their employees to take vacation time, and why it's important for employees to take their vacation time. Katie Dennis is with us. Katie is the Senior Director of Project Time Off. Our number, we have a couple lines open for you right now, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can also find us on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls. Mary in Waukesha is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm pulling over right now.
It sounds like you just finished vacation. You're cheery.
No, actually, not a vacation. I was at an interview.
Oh.
So, anyhow, my dilemma with vacation time, I've been in a position for a number of years, and so I'm qualified to take I believe 5 weeks of vacation, including 5 weekends, which I generally work on weekends. My problem is having the substitutes to cover what I do on weekends in order to take the 5 weekends off.
Mm-hmm.
the pool of people who I can pull in, and I have to provide the substitutes. I mean, my employer pays for them, but I have to find them. And so in order to do that, it's really, that tends to be the biggest reason why I don't take all of my vacation. Also, I tend to not really have a whole lot of extra income or extra savings or anything that I can put towards going somewhere. So most of the time that I take off is there staycations, and I do clean out my closet.
Oh, Mary, can you tell us something about the line of work you're in that makes it hard to find replacements?
I think so. And it seems like there are fewer and fewer of what I do. So it's like they're not out there.
What do you do, Mary? Can you tell us or not?
I prefer not to.
Okay. All right. You need more people like you who do what you do, right?
That's right. Yeah, and the training isn't always out there either.
Oh.
So, and it's interesting.
Katie, what do you say? Help Mary.
Well, I think you brought up a great point. Planning is absolutely critical to being able to take your time off. And, you know, some of us don't really do it that well. And I think you're clearly trying, which is great. But, I mean, about a third of us don't do some of the basic things, like sending a reminder, telling your coworkers, this is what's going to have to happen while I'm gone. You know, things that are, I think, pretty basic, or at least I thought were pretty basic. But one of our studies said, no, a lot of people actually aren't doing that. So, you know, again, this kind of goes to this open communication environment where we really need to talk about this. Now, having people trained and ready, that should be a priority not just for the individual, but for the company. There's a company called Motley Fool that is a financial online publication that has a pretty interesting approach on this. They do something called their Fool's Errand. So every month they give away an on-the-spot week of vacation that you have to take in the next 2 weeks. So there isn't really preparation time. You don't do some of the traditional things that you should do before you take time off. The reason they do this is not just because they want to be, you know, an awesome company that gives away spontaneous trips, but because they want to identify, are there areas where someone can't step in? Because if there is, they want to expose it. And they consider it a single point of failure as a company if somebody is not able to step into that role. Because what would happen if something were to happen to that employee, or, you know, all of a sudden they get hurt and they can't work for a long time? You know, they want to make sure that business doesn't stop running. So from a company perspective, there should be an imperative to make sure that people are able to step in. And, you know, that's a smarter approach, but it's rare, and it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cost front, obviously cost is an issue. Cost is always going to be an issue. our point, it doesn't have to be the big bucket list trip. And, you know, I think I mentioned my parents have a place at the beach, so I take full advantage of that because, you know, I've got small kids and can't really afford to do the big European adventure that I like to dream about and plan in my head. It's just not going to happen right now. So, you know, obviously being cautious, but, like, there's so many parks, or, you know, national parks. Most people live within 15 minutes drive of a national park, I think, is the, and they're celebrating their big centennial coming up in August, so there'll be lots more on that. But there's a lot of things that you can do that don't require a ton of money, but you'll still get those stress relief benefits. You'll still get the chance to bond with your family. And, you know, what I thought was really interesting about those kids focus groups that we did, the kids were asked to talk about their most recent memories, what they do for vacation as a family. A lot of the stuff they talked about, it wasn't big, expensive things that they remembered. It was, you know, oh, we go visit my aunt in St. Louis, or we do, you know, simple stuff. And it mattered to them. It resonated. It really did. And it doesn't need to be this big, huge thing. I think sometimes we over-prioritize how much you need to spend to make it memorable.
Sure.
You don't really need to spend much to make it memorable. And that's something we've really found particularly coming out of the what kids are saying and the value there. The value is the time, mm-hmm. not necessarily mm-hmm. how much you spend on the time.
Mary, thank you very much. I hope you find people to help you out. Barb in Blue Mound. Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to mention one of the drivers for people getting second and third jobs in the middle class anyway is that they've got college-age kids who are taking out exorbitant amounts of money and they feel bad about it, so they're working extra time to help them, or they don't feel like their own retirement is built up enough. And I think that drives it backwards towards working when you really should be maximizing that time with your own family. And the other thing I'm realizing happens more and more and more, I'm a teacher, and I just get emails all summer from people requesting this and we would like you to weigh in on this.
Oh,
and
my.
It's almost like you're really not, mm-hmm. you're not at all off. And that also makes a big difference in terms of when you feel like you're actually able to relax and let go.
Well, you have statistics on that, don't you, Katie, about the number of people who answer emails and who are doing, you know, answering phone calls, work-related, even when they're on vacation?
Yeah, we do. And it's particularly bad with people who are managers and that kind of like senior business leader group. They're much more likely to answer emails and work well on vacation. I want to say about two-thirds of them do that. So it's just one of those things that it has. And, you know, we talked about the fact that in 2000, vacations started to plummet. Well, what else happened in 2000? You know, it's just, when you start thinking about it, technology is a great thing in that it does enable us to be closer and for things to be a lot simpler. But at the same time, you know, it's tough to unplug. And obviously that's a raging debate right now. You know, we have not taken a position on whether to unplug or not. I think every person is different. And being prescriptive about it, you know, for me, I'm one of those people that, it's hard to admit this out loud, especially on the radio, but I like to take, you know, maybe a half hour to an hour, try to limit it, and check my email. And whether or not I respond, it makes me feel better. I feel less stressed when I do that. Some people, though, you know, my boss, he likes to totally unplug. He mm-hmm. does not want to be contacted, and, you know, he's very good about saying, I'm going to be out. These are the days I'm going to be out, and, you know, this is the protocol for while I'm gone. And he can totally check out, and he's done a great job with that. I will say, I don't think I realized how important some of that checking out can be to your team. And when I got back from my most recent vacation, where I tried very, very hard to limit the amount of things I was doing, and I think I was pretty good at it. I didn't even do it every day. But my team was like, hey, you were really good this time. And it didn't occur to me how much it affects them. And that was something that was a little bit of an eye-opener for me, because it's not just about what I personally want, it's also the message I'm sending. So it really is important, particularly for managers, to lead by that example. And, you know, while I've always said to my team, there's no expectation for you to check in, you are welcome to be completely cut off, don't look at anything, I wasn't necessarily modeling that behavior. So what I was saying wasn't really ringing as true. And that, to me, was really important. I was like, maybe we need to cut it back and be very careful about this. So whether or not you choose to unplug, just know that it's something that you are really creating this environment. We all have a role to play in shaping our company culture, whatever level you're at. So make sure that you're doing, you know, that you're reflecting the culture that you want.
Thanks, Barb, for your call. Andrew in Reedsburg, hello.
Hi there. I had a question for the guest. I guess I have kind of a unique perspective. I've worked for the state agency the last year, And day one, you start with, I believe it's 19 days off and then 12 sick days as well, which is, you know, pretty good as far as a benefit there. But I guess I was wondering, it was a benefit to me to not use those sick days because for the state employment, you save those until you're, till you retire, and then those all combine and you use that to pay for your health insurance and after you retire. So I was wondering where those sick days fall in her research. Are those considered in her research as me not taking those, even though in the long run I would consider that a benefit to me to not take them and, you know, that I have 19 other days to use?
Yeah, if you're not sick, you're not sick. So you keep them for retirement, I would think. Katie, don't you?
Yeah, so we don't count sick days into our research. We separate that out. The only instance where that isn't true is for companies that have PTO that's all lumped together, where you can't separate it. So, you know, and that is definitely an increasing trend. But overall, where there are sick days, that's not been counted to any of our research. So, you know what? Look, we don't, whatever the system you have is, great, and know your policy, and if that's what works best for you. But for the 19 days that you have that are pure vacation, again, it's, you're going to be healthier, you're going to be happier, you're going to have better relationships, and ultimately you're going to be a better employee for taking that time. You know, sick days, do whatever you want. If you're not sick, you're not sick. That's exactly right. You know, I've got a young child. Seems like that's a constant thing. But, you know, myself, before that, never took sick days. It just depends. So, you know, you don't need to be sick just because you have the days. And if that's a benefit you have, then great. But for vacation specifically, the time is worth so much more when you use it.
Thank you, Andrew, very much for your call. Gretchen in Oshkosh sends this email. My son is getting great pay for a guy with a four-year degree working in IT. In his first year on the job, he worked every single weekend. He said he doesn't remember an evening he didn't work. He was offered 2 weeks vacation, but ended the year with 8 days left. He traveled 22 out of 52 weeks, and there was absolutely no way for him to take the vacation he was offered. Is there no happy medium?
Well, I think that might be an individual company thing. That's pretty brutal. Working every single weekend and night and not having a chance to use your vacation. That is rough. And I think at that point, you know, this is where some of the fear needs to be put into perspective, because there might be an opportunity to have a conversation with your manager to say, hey, this is not working for me and I'm unhappy. Because I think that what employees don't realize is they have a tremendous amount of value. And, you know, for someone who's willing to work that hard most of the time, that is not an employee you want to lose. And if being able to use the vacation time and able to plan it out is going to make them happy and make them stay, then I think that a lot of employees would be surprised by how open to that conversation management is. And, you know, it's worth having. It's worth broaching. No one can fault you for asking about something that you earn.
Right. And in the time that we have left, tell me more about Project Time Off. What is this project? Is it a new endeavor? Or how did it get started?
Sure. So we're a research-driven initiative. We were started a couple years ago by, as an initiative at the U.S. Travel Association. And at that point, it was all about the benefits of travel. But what we realized is people take their time for so much more than just travel. And obviously, travel is a great thing to do, but, you know, there's the closet cleaning and the home projects. And, you know, if it's a kids event or something like that, the research that we're going to be releasing next week, one of the things we found is the number one thing that people miss out on are children's events. So that might be something that people really want to protect with their time off. But the point is, we wanted to make sure that we were inclusive of all the different ways people use their time off. So we've shifted to talking generally about what time off is. But the point is, this isn't frivolous time. This is important. It is essential. It's essential to our families. It's essential to our health. This is a business investment with proven returns. And this is an economic necessity. There is a huge, huge amount to be gained for our businesses and for the economy. There's $160 billion in economic impact if people would take their time off. So there's a reason to sit up and pay attention from an economic perspective, but also certainly from a personal perspective. And we just want to show people that this is a really, really important issue, and it's something we should be talking about. And we should be talking about it a lot. So we're trying to do all we can through research and communications to ignite that conversation and make it take off.
Well, thanks for igniting it here, Katie. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Katie Dennis is Senior Director of Project Time Off. And we thank her for being with us. Thanks to KP Whaley and Scotty Myers for producing this show. And Thank you for listening and for all of your contributions. We're with you again tomorrow. During this hour tomorrow, former Senator Gary Hart will be joining us, considered by some to be one of the smartest politicians around. He's the former Colorado senator and a presidential contender, and he has a new book, The Republic of Conscience. He thinks we're in rough times, our republic, and he'll talk about why. We'll also talk with both sides of the Milwaukee bus work stoppage to find out what it was all about and what's next. The president of the Bus Driver Union, James Macon, and Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley will be joining us tomorrow. That's during our 1 o'clock hour, so hope you'll listen. Thanks for listening today.